Hello, welcome to this new podcast on aphantasia. This one is about memory, in particular autobiographical memory. Now, I've not said that correctly, so my apologies. But if you want to look this up, it's SDAM. Now, it's envisaged that one third of the people with aphantasia will have this as well. Now, it's not always obvious what this actually means. Now, for those that have already discovered it, it appears to relate how you experience memory in the first or third person. So for most people, they experience memories as a first person. They're experiencing that history of doing something. So to really understand this, we have to delve a bit into explaining memories. So for memory, there are two real main components for long-term memory. There's semantic memory and episodic memory. Now, semantic memory is really the facts around what you did when you did it. So if you went on holiday, it would be you went to the airport, you stayed at the hotel, you went to dinner, you visited certain places. For the episodic side of that memory, it would be the experience. What was it like? What did it sound like? What did it feel like? All those kind of things that you experience in real time, those can be stored as memories. Now, for people like me with aphantasia, there's an added thing to this. Because I don't store sound or vision, I don't actually have the ability to record any of those and recall them in my mind. So this could be part of the question as why I don't experience memories as experiences. But we do get to a bit of a puzzle for this, because if one third of people with aphantasia don't have episodic memories, what are the others experiencing from the aphantasia side? They must have a way of storing information which is different. So we don't quite understand enough, I guess, is what I'm saying at this point. But I think it's interesting to know that and think about it. The other thing which is quite curious as well is something called a timeline. Some people can see historically past events in their mind. So you can look back through their life and they can see events and know when they occurred. I have literally no context of time in terms of historical events. So what does this mean for me? Well, I can't distinguish between something that happened yesterday and something that happened 20 years ago. It literally is like that. So I can't tell the difference. There's no essence of knowing when something occurred. So it might say, I might be talking to someone and say, oh yeah, I went on holiday that year. And I'm suddenly think, I can't actually tell what year that was. And I have to use other clues to help me when something occurred. I literally can't tell time past. It's about an hour for me. So, for example, if I go to work within about an hour, I wouldn't be sure if something happened that day or previous days. Now, obviously, there are things which I can use to prove when things occurred. I've got facts, you've got mobile phone information, you've got map data, you've got other things going on. So I think it's a lot easier for this to hide in plain sight, because I'm nearly 60 and I kind of feel more curious to why did I never know this before? Because you think, I must have had clues, I must be aware of this. And I think it's a bit of an awareness question at this point, because if you're sat there listening to this, or you're listening to this podcast, try and imagine yourself, what can you remember your fifth birthday party or something like it? Anything at an age probably before 10. What did you get for your birthdays? What were they like? Did you have friends? The things that you would think would be significant on a day that is significant to you. That's the kind of thing I don't have. I don't really have anything like that. Now, even facts become elusive at a certain point, because of remembering and the history of remembering, it becomes to me something which I can't pull out. I can't go back in time to a certain time and say, what was I doing in 1977? Chronologically, I can't do that. So I don't have the ability to kind of reverse a timeline and think, what was I doing when? Now, I can think about events and think, well, okay, was I at school at a certain point of time? Well, okay, I remember something at school, but it's like snapshots and they're incomplete pieces. So I don't have any sound because of the aphantasia, I'm assuming at this point. So there's no sounds I'm recalling. So at school, I've got no awareness of what something sounded like at school, the noise of the playground, what it was like to be in class, the sound of the teachers, literally nothing like that. Now, I have odd moments of clarity where I can think of something that occurred at school. And because of benefits of Facebook, I'm able to ask people that I was at school with and say, well, do you remember this? Like, for example, we were shown a movie on a projector. Yeah, it's that old. At school, and we watched this movie of the big audience in one of the rooms at school. Now, I've asked classmates and they remember that, but I have literally, beyond the fact of that, nothing else. And if you said to me, okay, well, do you have any similar facts from school? I probably remembered about five things from the whole of my school years. And the detail of that is literally, there is none. There is no detail at all. I can't remember any of that. Now, I should be able to. I think I should anyway, even as facts, but I don't have that easier either. Now, I think at this point I need to say an additional thing I'm aware of. I don't have a very good working memory, because I think this is important as well to consider. So what does that mean? Well, if you want to understand working memory as it is for me, and I think this is quite an interesting problem to think about. If somebody gave you a phone number to remember, so I said, go and remember this number, and then you had to write it down 2, 3, 5 minutes later, I couldn't do that. I would not remember long enough. Now, you might think, well, okay, yeah, my memory's that bad, and I can't do that either. But if I put this in context of how profound mine is, if I'm looking at two computer screens, like an office in front of me, and I've got a number on one screen, and I've got to type that number into the other, into a box on the other screen, I can't remember it long enough to do that. I literally will have to think of two numbers at a time and think, oh yeah, that's a number. Oh yeah, that's the other numbers. It literally is that kind of thing. I can't do it. In terms of trying to absorb that information, it won't retain long enough to do that. It's like looking away. As soon as you look away, it's gone. Now, other aspects to memory I think are really good to think about. Now, something which I've learned recently is something called flashbulb memory. I've always curious at this one because people always say, do you remember where you was when this occurred or when that happened? Like when... This is usually, unfortunately, when somebody famous dies. I literally don't have any of those. I think I have one when Lady Diana died, and that was it. I remember where I was at home. But literally, that is the only one. There are no real other things, you know, the things that have happened in my life or when my parents have died or anything like that, anything that's truly significant for me that should be important and be, you know, literally a memory burned in your mind and you think, okay, I remember this because this was a bad or sad or happy event. I don't remember. It's like there's nothing there to grasp. The memories just don't occur for me to be able to think, when did that happen? So when you're thinking of this and you're listening, it's worth thinking about this yourself. What is your experience? Because there's one thing I like to do is I like to learn and understand. I had no idea how my memory really worked before I started thinking about it and before I learned about aphantasia. And to be honest, I really only got to think about memory because of aphantasia. I probably wouldn't have even thought about it And for those coming to this podcast from that aspect, I really am fascinated how we all have different ideas and thoughts on how this works. Now, I imagine there'd be so much ideas of variation, possibly because of perception. We're all going to have different ways to categorise what we see, to articulate what it is, to really translate that thing in our mind. What is it we're seeing? Because you've got to remember, at the end of the day, we're trying to translate something that occurs only in our mind to someone else, because they can then they experience in their mind. And I really want to understand this better. And I think sometimes I watch things that are in films or television, and I think, actually, that's really interesting. I did watch one film which I found fascinating. There's a cartoon called Inside Out, where the cartoon's created from a world inside the girl's head, the main character's head. And emotions are given moments in history and memories and all kind of things and factored together. And I found it fascinating because I just realised how complicated this all is when it fits together. And so often we just don't really understand this. We just look at it and think, OK, what I experience is the same as everyone else. Because why wouldn't we? And that's my starting point. We don't know, because how would we ever find out? I don't remember ever learning anything like this at school. You know, we don't go into, well, OK, if your memory's working this way, or if you can do this, then learn this way or learn that way. And I think that, for me, is one of the lessons that we will learn from this in the future, is how to learn something. Because the traditional ways of learning, for me, were absolutely useless, because I can't learn things that way. They just don't work. I wouldn't retain information. So does it mean I can't? Well, no, I can retain information. I have an engineering degree. I can do things and I can function normally in the real world. But it does mean I've learned tricks and traits to get around those things. That I'm quite sure of now. And I think what it's interesting to do is share some of those things. So on a future podcast, I'm going to share some of the things I think that I use to get around things, or to remember things, or as visual clues, or stuff that basically helps me do things the way I want to do them. Because that's, at the end of the day, what we want. I don't want to have to do things in a certain way because that's the only way it works. I think I want to make my life easier, but also I want to share stuff as well. And, you know, these might seem strange things, but I was trying to explain to someone what it means to be me. And if you're travelling, which is a good one, I said, well, if I'm at an airport, I will have to take a picture of the gate number when I'm in the duty-free area, because I will potentially forget the gate number once I've walked out of there. So it's little things like that that become significant for me that others would look at and say, well, why would you need to do that? Surely it's obvious, you'll remember it. No, I won't always remember that. So for me, one of the takeaway things is to think about is, how does it work for you? And I'm really interested in what other people think. I have a Twitter page. You can look up Alan Kendall and find me on there, as well as Facebook and YouTube. But I think I really want to understand what people think about this story and memory and how it works.